Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It's one thing to be released, but I was afraid of being accepted. Do I have to live in fear? Do I have to live in hiding? Do I have to lie about where I've been? I didn't want to live inauthentic. And so I just decided to take a chance. And it is because of other individuals that seen and root themselves in humanity that I went from a prison cell to an executive leadership position.
I'm Kimberly Atkins-Store, and this is Justice by Design, a podcast that recognizes that justice doesn't happen on its own. It comes from the dedicated work of people, including you and me, doing what needs to happen to ensure that justice is available to everyone. You know, in my years of being a reporter, there are few areas where often humanity is forgotten more than when talking about people who have experienced or are experiencing incarceration. It's as if people are erased from society, even if they have served their sentences, completed all of their requirements, and just want to live and have the right to live just like everyone else. Live, work, thrive, take care of their families and their communities. But luckily, there are people who have dedicated their lives and used their experiences to help people bridge that gap back into being full members of our society, full citizens, and making sure that their humanity is centered and not an afterthought. And that's why I'm so glad today to be joined by Tara Lawyer. Tara Lawyer is the president of CROP, an organization that helps people who've experienced incarceration. Tara, thank you so much for joining me on Justice by Design.
I am so incredibly honored to be joining you today and to be talking about something that is so central and important in our society today.
So before we get started in this conversation, I always ask my guests to introduce themselves to our listeners to get an idea of who you are. And I want you particularly to tell a little bit about your story and how you came to be president of CROP.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you, Kim. Well, I don't like to talk about myself. I really like to talk about the work, right? I personally come to this work with lived experience. I was incarcerated at the age of 18 and sent away with a life sentence. So I spent the majority of my years growing up inside of prison and really understanding inside what was happening to the women. I spent 15 years in the largest women's facility in the world, Central California Women's Facility, right here in California. And by the time I was ready to parole in my mid-30s, I had a completely transformative experience, a journey that took me through self-awareness, understanding what are some of the societal pressures, understanding personal responsibility and accountability, understanding, co-occurring disorders. And in prison, I understood and seen and observed and experienced just this sea of brokenness among all of my peers. And I was determined to do whatever I could to improve those conditions while I was inside of them. So I worked closely with the warden and other administrative staff to introduce, build, and implement rehabilitation programs, some of which are still in active you know, today, some of which have gotten senatorial and congressional recognition, and really, really proud of seeing a lot of the programs and the classes and the courses and the therapeutic sessions still underway. It's needed. It's important. And so it was very natural in 2017 when I came home to continue this work. You know, after coming home and being intoxicated with freedom, I slowly began to inhale the sober reality that we can do better. And that is when I dedicated my freedom and my purpose to this work.
And I'm grateful that you are doing that. Let's sort of start at the basics, because I think there are so many things. I will speak for myself. I am sure that even though I think I may understand some of the obstacles that people who have been incarcerated might face just trying to get housing and a job and just live the American way, like we all should, there are probably so many obstacles that I can't even see or that I and other people don't realize. So talk a little bit about that journey to reestablishing a life after incarceration.
It's funny. I'm going to start and talk about, you know, I had one of my former professors ask me to come speak to his college students who were all, you know, somewhat majors in criminal justice, whether they were aspiring prosecutors, district attorneys, police officers, and so on. And I remember sitting there and I did this exercise with them and I told them, you know, I just did 15 years. Today is my first day out. What do I need to do in order to reintegrate? And they started screaming from the audience, get a job, get a job, get a job, get a job, get a job. And I was tickled, because that is the common understanding and expectation of members in our society. When you get out of prison, get a job, start paying your taxes, start living a life without crime. And the fact of the matter is that when an individual comes home from prison, they have to go to at least 10 to 15 providers just to be reinstated as a member of society. Getting your identification card, getting your birth certificate, getting your social security card, getting all of those things is already going to take 2 to 4 weeks. Then you talk about securing housing. You're talking about job readiness. You're talking about workforce development. You're talking about clothing, transportation, food, right? I mean, the common things that we all take for granted, that we're talking ground zero, having to start to build back up. And no one, not one single person could ever do it on their own, which is why our recidivism rates are so high in our nation. Because the reentry system is so incredibly siloed, it is going to take a big, major collaborative effort on all of our part to ensure that people are made whole in their second chance journey. So this is why, you know, we do this work, because we recognize people are falling through the cracks. They're going back to prison because they end up going back to what they know, which is criminal thinking, criminal behavior, and going back to that hustle grinding mentality. Most people, if given the opportunity, will thrive.
And Tara, before we dig into the pillars of the Ready for Life program at CROP that addresses the things that you were talking about, I think people forget that it's not only is it difficult just logistically to get just the paperwork of life and the things that you need, just the fundamental building blocks to rebuilding. Yes. In a lot of sense, there are pre-built barriers. There are jobs that are inaccessible to people if they have been convicted. There is housing that is inaccessible to people if they have been convicted of a crime. There are so many pre-built obstacles in the system that need to be overcome, right?
Correct. We have over 29,000 state and federal regulations, restrictions, limitations, and barriers for formerly incarcerated individuals. And we have these high expectations of wanting them to reintegrate, lead a life without crime, get a job, pay your taxes, you know, be a good neighbor. And yet we make it a very difficult for someone to really get on their feet, to get their bearings, to really get a head start at their second chance at life.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
So let's talk a little bit about what the program does. There are 4 pillars to the program: leadership, skilled, equipped, and home. Talk a little bit about how these 4 pillars work together to help really build a bridge to make that transition a lot easier.
Yeah. So at CROP, our Ready for Life program is one of a kind. There is no other program out there, and we are hoping to really set the bar right where the standard needs to be, which is a holistic wraparound, all-in-one, all-inclusive, one-stop shop, everything underneath one umbrella, to ensure that someone is getting all of their needs met at one space so that they don't have to be burdened with navigating systems and trying to get transportation to one place or to another. They can find everything that they need right here at our Ready for Life program. So we offer 12 months of housing free of charge. We offer a $1,000 a month stipend for those 12 months. A portion of that goes into a checking account. Another portion goes into a savings account. By the time they complete the program, they'll have a pretty nest egg to go on into independent living with that. We couple that with financial wellness. So we're talking about second chance banking, understanding how you can pay your bills, how to build your credit, and all of those different things. Then we provide digital literacy. So this is, you think about people who have been away. I mean, if you detach from your technology in 1 year, it has all changed. There's new apps, there's new processes, and so on. So digital literacy is a major thing for individuals to definitely receive. In the first pillar, we talk about leadership for life, right? And this is really a great time to help people restructure their thinking, right? Because the institutions that people are coming home from tell them that they are less than, that they deserve less, that they should expect less. And so what they end up needing to do is sort of rethink and reframe and rebuild that thinking so that they can understand that if it's meant to be, it's up to me, right? And we are going to give them that confidence building. We're going to give them that personal accountability where they recognize, like, this is my life and I'm going to jump full force into it. So they go then into Skilled for Life, which is our pillar 2. And that's all about career development. This is where they get the hard skills, skills first, higher, all that is right here in this pillar 2. And we offer a couple of career tracks, tech sales. We offer healthcare for like AOD counseling or peer support specialists. Then we offer some of the trades around like HVAC, trucking, things along those lines. And before then, they go into, shortly afterwards in pillar 3, they go into Equipped for Life. And this is when we work with our employer partners and they get internships, apprenticeships, and full-time employment opportunities. Before that, they are getting a lot of career development, career readiness. We're setting up their LinkedIns. They're doing their resumes. We're really setting them up as someone who's ready for a career. And then finally, the fourth pillar is Home for Life. And Home for Life is all about pathways to long-term housing solutions. This is where we work with our landlord partners who believe and are practicing fair chance housing opportunities and bringing on our great fellows who are graduating our program as wonderful tenants that are going to add value to their communities forever and beyond. I am proud to say, Kim, that we boast a 0% recidivism rate.
Wow. So how do you, I mean, you're obviously working with a lot of partners here in order to make this come together. How were you able to reach out and get these companies and counselors and other folks on board to this program?
Well, when we began sharing out what our mission was and what we intended to do over the next few years, people were excited. They were excited about being a part of something that was innovative, transformative, revolutionary, and for such a time as this, they wanted to be a part. It wasn't a big thing where we had to do this entire outreach plan or this engagement strategy and go and try to hustle up all of these partners. It was simply a phone call, or it was simply come to our campus and look at what we're doing. And before we knew it, our network of partners was secure and continues to build. Because we can't do it alone.
Wow. So what in doing this work, because even though you've been doing it a long time, it's certainly, I imagine that you're still learning so much along the way. What are some of the needs that the organization has right now? What do you need in order to continue to fulfill this mission? And what have you learned that surprised you about whether it is the landscape for people once they come out of prison, or just things that you may not even think about? Back to the question that I asked earlier, because I can only imagine, even though I know people that have touched me, people who've been in my family have been in this situation, there's still so much I don't know what is needed in order to help. So talk a little bit about some of the surprises or the things people may not realize.
Yeah. Well, let's first talk about how this came to be. When we sort of pitched this idea to the state of California, state legislators, the governor was excited. They said, write it up. Let's do it. We secured $27 million for our pilot program. We did no outreach inside of the prison. Instead, we sent in a few applications. We talked to a few individuals. And before long, we had a wait list of over 1,200 people. And our current funding is only able to support almost 400 people. So you can imagine what we were experiencing when we saw the demand for a program such as this. We got into this work. We realized it was such a high demand. And we learned a few things. One is people want to help. And the way that I always say, the easiest lift that people can do to help is to help us change the narrative around how society views and treats and approaches formerly incarcerated individuals. Studies show, Kim, that if you give a formerly incarcerated individual who's ready to work and ready to hit the ground running an opportunity to be employed at your company, they are, one, they work harder, they stay longer, and they promote faster than other individuals because they have a lot to prove. The other thing that was pretty surprising that we learned is that employers who are doing these fair chance hiring pledges absolutely want to get involved, but they don't know where to start. They don't know where to put and incorporate some of the best practices of hiring and job retention for formerly incarcerated people. And that's really where I step in and try to introduce some of the best practices and implementation strategies that they can do right then in their internal HR practices and policies. So those are some of the surprises. What we found is that people absolutely need to stabilize post-release of prison in order to be successful. People need to not just have housing and a job or a career readiness tool. They need a support system. They need case management. They need a team of individuals, coaches, and reentry coordinators, all surrounding them, not just with resources, but with counseling, with, you know, inspirational, motivational interviewing and trauma-informed care practices. Like, there's a host of things that individuals need coming home from prison. And not everyone is a one-size-fits-all, right? This is not a sort of platter of things that say, this is what we got and you take it. We need to approach individuals where they're at and provide individualized care. These are things that I think a lot of systems do not take into account. It's like, this is what we have. You're going to take this $200 and you're going to make it work, versus assessing what are the person's needs. And so doing our intake assessments really gets down into the details. And then we're able to customize an individualized reentry plan for that person.
Well, let me ask you a little bit more about that, because I'm sure some of the needs might be health related if their health has failed over time. It might be mental health related. It could be any number of things, counseling for alcohol or drugs. So what sort of things, give an example of some of the individualized points that you're evaluating when you're looking at someone.
Yeah, you called it. Now, individuals might be in the middle of getting their GED. Individuals might be suffering and struggling with a substance abuse disorder. They might have an untreated mental health condition. Making sure that our partners who are specialized in these treatment modalities are ready at the quit so that we can refer individuals to get additional care is really important. Another thing is that we have a very gender neutral program here. And what that means is many of our reentry providers are either providing services for males or for females. And some individuals don't identify as that. And some individuals may have been born as a male, but are now a female. And the system oftentimes forces people into programs based upon the sex that they were born with. And this is causing another layer of discrimination and another layer of why our homelessness rates are so high for formerly incarcerated people. So we want to make sure we address that as well, right? So having a gender neutral, we don't care how you identify, you are welcomed to our campus, to our programs. This is another layer of things that we're addressing for people.
So how can people find your program? Is there an application process? How do you select who is admitted?
I appreciate that. Our application is available on our website at croporg.org. They can fill it out online. If an individual is incarcerated, they can call our support line and ask and request an application be sent to them physically. Once our application is received, we screen it to make sure that the person is eligible for the program. We also then begin doing some interviews. So if they're incarcerated, they're able to call to one of our coaches and conduct a phone interview about what is their readiness for a program such as this. This is not a light lift. This requires a commitment. This is not just a bed for you to come and just hang out and do your thing. This is like this is the Stanford of reentry programs. This is the Harvard of career development for formerly incarcerated people. And so we do require that level of a commitment. And so our screening process is pretty thorough. You know, the application is pretty thorough, and our screening process and the interviews is pretty thorough. We want to just gauge people's readiness for a program such as this.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
So what do you need? I mean, you've secured some funding there in California. What do you need in order to continue this program? And what do you think is needed more broadly when it comes to improving the criminal justice system post-release that is missing in a lot of places where your program is not available?
Sure. Well, number one, what we need, we're in a budget cycle season right now. So we are requesting an additional appropriation for continued funding right now from the state of California. We always invite private philanthropy to join us because it allows us to be nimble. It allows us to be innovative. It allows us to course correct and iterate the program and tweak things so that it's more and more specific and current to the demands of people coming home. When I came home in 2017, does not compare to someone coming home post-COVID in 2025.
Right.
So we need to always stay abreast of what is going on to meet the needs of individuals coming home today. Another thing is, more and more studies are being done, but not a lot of solutions being built. So there's a possibility that we'll create a toolkit so that we can nationwide spread this model for other states in our nation to implement a program such as this, where we can lend, some of our learnings and our experience to support any technical assistance or some build out. But I think that that is the way in which we spread and scale something like this on a nationwide level, is really, really hyper-focusing on what we've done here. This is the most unique program out there, and we need to see it more places. Now, there's another additional layer of needs is there's already great organizations doing great work and specializing in what they specialize in, right? So we have great partners that are doing excellent work in the housing space, but that's their specialty. We have excellent partners doing work in workforce development, but that's their specialty. How do we get all of these great organizations to communicate and to centralize all of the data and the input and the resources that are going into formerly incarcerated people? Remember, I talked about the individual who comes home having to go to 10 to 15 different providers. How do we get those providers to communicate to each other? The answer is clear. Technology. Technology today in day and age is the answer. And so we have a data and analytics platform, which is going to allow and invite all the reentry service providers to utilize, and we will be able to track an individual and all of their resources and their needs so that they don't fall through the cracks. And so this is the next level of what our reentry system needs, to break down those silos. And so we can all work in concert and we can really show what cross collaboration looks like.
So my last question for you, Tara, is another thing that we haven't touched on yet that can be a barrier is the stigma of having been incarcerated. We have a criminal justice system that's supposed to say, you pay your price to society, you fulfill your sentence, you fulfill your post-release requirements, and that is it. But that is not it. It is often something that follows people for the rest of their lives. How do we break the stigma so that someone who is seen for their humanity?
That's right.
What they can do, who they are, as opposed to their worst moment.
This is the most critical part. The narrative change is critical. Being able to look at me and not see my big scarlet letter of my criminal history is really critical and important. I'll tell you this, coming home from prison was more terrifying than being sent to prison, because I knew everything that I was going to have to do to fight to be accepted back into society. It's one thing to be released, but I was afraid of being accepted. Do I have to live in fear? Do I have to live in hiding? Do I have to lie about where I've been? I didn't want to live inauthentic. And so I just decided to take a chance. And it is because of other individuals that seen and root themselves in humanity that I went from a prison cell to an executive leadership position, allowing me to just get a job. I started out as an admin administrative associate, just getting the opportunity to showcase my skills and my professional background and my education was the only reason why I sit here before you today. If it wasn't for people opening the door and then me being brave enough to walk through it, yep, I would have never been where I'm at today. A mother, a homeowner, a leader that constantly puts myself out there so that other people can get an opportunity and get a chance. It's not about me. I am not special and I am not unique. There's amazing people inside that are begging for their second chance. And you can be a part of that by just opening some doors.
Thank you so much for joining me today to talk about this. Thank you so much for your work. And I wish you nothing but continued success for you and everyone you touch. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kim, for having me. This has been a great conversation.
You know, it's the personal lived experiences of people like Tara that drove me to create this podcast. I know I say it every week, but this is really an example of how solutions to the issues that we face in our world often do not come from the top. They don't come from members of Congress. I'm not saying that that's not important and that their work isn't important. It is. But real innovation is happening every day from people who have experienced what injustice is and who are motivated to right those wrongs and to reach out a hand to ensure that other people don't face the same obstacles that they do and that our world is better and that we can benefit. We can have more people employed. We can have businesses with better workers. We can have an economy that works better for everyone. And we can just find ways for people to live the American dream as we were all taught when we were young. And that's why I'm so appreciative to Tara for her work and also for joining me today to talk to us about CROP and the importance of ensuring that people who have been incarcerated have their humanity centered. I'm Kimberly Atkins-Store. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Justice by Design. Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your pods. And you can also subscribe on YouTube to the Politicon channel and Justice by Design to see our conversations every week. I will see you next week with a new topic and new inspiration. This is Justice by Design. I'm Kim Atkins-Store.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.